Listening test.
Part 1. You will hear a radio announcer talking about Plymouth Sea Life Center. Fill in the missing information in the numbered space.
And finally, Mary James has been visiting the new Sea Life Center at Plymouth. What can you tell us about it, Mary?
Well, it's an extremely exciting place. There are so many things to see, and everything is enjoyable as well as educational. It costs £3.70 for adults, £2 for children, and less for over 60s and school groups. It's open every day of the year, except the 25th and 26th of December. Special attractions for children include a quiz and hourly feeding times for all the different animals and fish, starting at 9:30. You can see everything here, from the most enormous of sea creatures to the smallest. Every morning from 10, there are slide and video shows for children in the Sea Life Theatre. And someone is always there to answer questions about what you've seen. If you're in a group of 6 or more people, they can give you a special guided tour of the centre. But you need to arrange this at the information desk when you arrive. The latest attraction at the centre is a big glass tunnel you can walk through. All around you, you will see enormous fish swimming, sometimes even over your head. You certainly have the clearest possible view of the world beneath the waves. Children love it, and it's really amazing for adults too. When you get hungry, there's a relaxed family dining area, serving snacks, cold drinks, and ice creams. Near the main entrance, there's an excellent bookshop. And there's also a souvenir shop, selling all kinds of things connected with the sea. I warmly recommend this visit. For more information, phone 01743 564 219.
Listen again.
And finally, Mary James has been visiting the new Sea Life Centre at Plymouth. What can you tell us about it, Mary?
Well, it's an extremely exciting place. There are so many things to see, and everything is enjoyable as well as educational. It costs £3.70 for adults, £2 for children, and less for over 60s and school groups. It's open every day of the year, except the 25th and 26th of December. Special attractions for children include a quiz and hourly feeding times for all the different animals and fish, starting at 9:30. You can see everything here, from the most enormous of sea creatures to the smallest. Every morning from 10, there are slide and video shows for children in the Sea Life Theatre. And someone is always there to answer questions about what you've seen. If you're in a group of 6 or more people, they can give you a special guided tour of the centre. But you need to arrange this at the information desk when you arrive. The latest attraction at the centre is a big glass tunnel you can walk through. All around you, you will see enormous fish swimming, sometimes even over your head. You certainly have the clearest possible view of the world beneath the waves. Children love it, and it's really amazing for adults too. When you get hungry, there's a relaxed family dining area, serving snacks, cold drinks, and ice creams. Near the main entrance, there's an excellent bookshop. And there's also a souvenir shop, selling all kinds of things connected with the sea. I warmly recommend this visit. For more information, phone 01743 564 219.
Part 2.
Listen and decide whether the statements are true or false.
What's the furthest you've ever cycled? Perhaps you cycle to school or to work, or maybe at most a short cycling trip with friends. How would you feel about spending months on the road travelling solo from the UK to China by bike? For British cyclist Pete Jones, camping rough and cycling long distances through inhospitable terrain are second nature. Mr. Jones is currently undertaking a mammoth trip across the Eurasian continent from Britain to China. Pete Jones is no stranger to China, but he says many people there are puzzled by his passion for cycling, asking why he would choose to cycle when he can afford a car. Indeed, while there are an estimated 400 million bicycles in China, where it has long been the preferred form of transport, rapid economic growth has fueled an explosive expansion in car ownership. Edward Ginocchio, another British cyclist who completed a 41,000-kilometer trip to China and back, said one of his aims was to promote cycling as a safe, sustainable and environmentally benign means of getting about. In the UK, the last few years have seen a rise in the number of people choosing two wheels over four, with some estimates saying the number of people cycling to work has almost doubled in the last 5 years. Politicians also see cycling as a way to boost their eco-credentials, with people such as London Mayor Boris Johnson often riding to work under his own steam. But we may have to wait some time before we see him emulating Pete Jones in attempting to cycle all the way to China.
Listen again.
What's the furthest you've ever cycled? Perhaps you cycle to school or to work, or maybe at most a short cycling trip with friends. How would you feel about spending months on the road travelling solo from the UK to China by bike? For British cyclist Pete Jones, camping rough and cycling long distances through inhospitable terrain are second nature. Mr. Jones is currently undertaking a mammoth trip across the Eurasian continent from Britain to China. Pete Jones is no stranger to China, but he says many people there are puzzled by his passion for cycling, asking why he would choose to cycle when he can afford a car. Indeed, while there are an estimated 400 million bicycles in China, where it has long been the preferred form of transport, rapid economic growth has fueled an explosive expansion in car ownership. Edward Ginocchio, another British cyclist who completed a 41,000-kilometer trip to China and back, said one of his aims was to promote cycling as a safe, sustainable and environmentally benign means of getting about. In the UK, the last few years have seen a rise in the number of people choosing two wheels over four, with some estimates saying the number of people cycling to work has almost doubled in the last 5 years. Politicians also see cycling as a way to boost their eco-credentials, with people such as London Mayor Boris Johnson often riding to work under his own steam. But we may have to wait some time before we see him emulating Pete Jones in attempting to cycle all the way to China.
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.
You will hear a conversation which takes place in a busy restaurant between a couple. Ivan and Hannah Smythe choose the best answer, A, B, or C. There will now be a pause of 1 minute for you to look through part four.
I say, waiter, we're ready to order.
Not so loud, darling. People are looking.
Ah, there you are. What kept you, Joel?
Just a little mix-up with one of the other orders, sir.
I'm not surprised. I don't know who wrote this load of nonsense, but it's all Greek to me.
Darling, it's perfectly plain and obvious. I've just explained it. You choose a starter from list A, a main course from list B, and dessert from list C, and the prices are all colour-coded.
Well, what if I wanted two starters?
I'd have to ask the manager about that, sir, and I don't think he'd be too happy.
No, there's no need for that, Joel. We'll just order one of everything, as my wife said.
Well, do you know what you'd like, sir?
Well, my wife will have the garlic mushrooms and a T-bone steak, well done, on both sides, and...
Sorry, sir, you have to give me the numbers. You see... The garlic mushrooms are A36 up here.
Oh, I see. Well, you could try writing the numbers a bit more clearly. Can you deal with this, dear? I've left my reading glasses in the car.
Uh-huh. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. We'll have one A36, one B7 and one C15. And my husband will have A12... B3. Oh, hang on. Did you want to ask about the quiche, dear?
Ah, oh, yes. Does the quiche contain animal fat, Joel?
I've never really thought about that. I used to be a vegetarian, but I eat almost everything now.
I'm sure the quiche is fine, dear. We'll have one B3, Joel.
It's Joel, actually. You don't pronounce the E.
I could go for something else. Can you see anything, dear?
Oh, sorry. Yes. There's a nut roast, number B33, and it's with lemon sauce. Sounds nice.
Lemon sauce? That's a bit odd. Is it any good, Joel?
I don't know, sir. I don't eat nuts myself. They don't agree with my digestion.
I wasn't asking about you, Joel. I just wanted to know if it's popular.
Ah, it's one of our most popular dishes, sir.
OK, then. Nut roast and lemon B33 and one banana split.
That's C11.
Thank you, dear. And don't forget the extra cream.
I'm sorry, sir, but all our meals are... assembled in advance, and nothing extra can be added or removed.
What kind of restaurant is this?
Ivan, calm down. He's doing his best.
Will that be all, then?
Suppose it'll have to be.
Well, if you'll wait just 1.5 minutes, I'll bring you your food.
My word. Well, that's very efficient. Even the officer's canteen in Stanbrook isn't that fast. It just shows what a bit of organisation...
You will hear the piece again.
I say, waiter, we're ready to order.
Not so loud, darling. People are looking.
Ah, there you are. What kept you, Joel?
Just a little mix-up with one of the other orders, sir.
I'm not surprised. I don't know who wrote this load of nonsense, but it's all Greek to me.
Darling, it's perfectly plain and obvious. I've just explained it. You choose a starter from list A, a main course from list B, and dessert from list C, and the prices are all colour-coded.
Well, what if I wanted two starters?
I'd have to ask the manager about that, sir, and I don't think he'd be too happy.
No, no, there's no need for that, Joel. We'll just order one of everything, as my wife said.
Well, do you know what you'd like, sir?
Well, my wife will have the garlic mushrooms and a T-bone steak well done on both sides, and...
Sorry, sir, you have to give me the numbers. You see... The garlic mushrooms are A36 up here.
Oh, I see. Well, you could try writing the numbers a bit more clearly. Can you deal with this, dear? I've left my reading glasses in the car.
Uh-huh. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. We'll have one A36, one B7 and one C15. And my husband will have A12... B3. Oh, hang on. Did you want to ask about the quiche, dear?
Ah, oh, yes. Does the quiche contain animal fat, Joel?
I've never really thought about that. I used to be a vegetarian, but I eat almost everything now.
I'm sure the quiche is fine, dear. We'll have one B3, Joel.
It's Joel, actually. You don't pronounce the E.
I could go for something else. Can you see anything, dear?
Oh, sorry. Yes. There's a nut roast, number B33, and it's with lemon sauce. Sounds nice.
Lemon sauce? That's a bit odd. Is it any good, Joel?
I don't know, sir. I don't eat nuts myself. They don't agree with my digestion.
I wasn't asking about you, Joel. I just wanted to know if it's popular.
Ah, it's one of our most popular dishes, sir.
OK, then. Nut roast and lemon B33 and one banana split.
That's C11.
Thank you, dear. And don't forget the extra cream.
I'm sorry, sir, but all our meals are... assembled in advance, and nothing extra can be added or removed.
What kind of restaurant is this?
Ivan, calm down. He's doing his best.
Will that be all, then?
Suppose it'll have to be.
Well, if you'll wait just 1.5 minutes, I'll bring you your food.
My word. That's very efficient. Even the officer's canteen in Stanbrook isn't that fast. It just shows what a bit of organisation...
That is the end of part 3.
Time's up. Thank you.